My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Jesus is frustrated at the beginning of our gospel lesson this morning. You know, sometimes I think we forget that Jesus was human and had many of the same human feelings and frustrations that we have. He was both truly human and truly divine. This reading depends on the earlier part of the chapter of Matthew in order to make sense of it. In that part of the gospel, chapter 11, John the Baptist is in Herod's prison. And, you know, John's spirit must have been broken because he sent a message to Jesus saying, "Are you the Messiah, or do I need to hang on and wait for someone else to come?" And I think when Jesus got that message, it must have broke his heart, because John was the one who was the very first to tell that he was the Messiah. Of course, I can imagine that being in prison might crush anybody's faith. So Jesus sends back the assurance that the blind can see, the lame can walk, the dead are raised, and good news is being preached to the poor. All signs that John would know and recognize that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is alive and well and doing his work. Jesus is frustrated because the people did not listen to John, even though John was the best prophet that God had ever sent. The Jewish leaders now criticize Jesus, too. They call him a drunkard and a glutton because he eats with tax collectors and sinners. He just couldn't win. Ever have a day like that when nobody listens to you? Maybe your children are not listening, or your spouse doesn't listen, even your dog doesn't listen to you and walks off without you. You just can't win. What do they expect? Jesus compares the people to children playing a game in the marketplace. One group wants to dance, another group wants to play a dirge, pretend that they are mourning. Neither one of them want to cooperate with each other, and they end up getting nothing accomplished. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus were to come today in our midst, would we be any better at recognizing him? What would we be expecting? A Caucasian man with maybe a beard and some flowing robes and a very peaceful look on his face, just like in the movies. But what if he came as an Asian or an African American? Or heaven forbid that he came as a woman? That would throw us off, wouldn't it? But what if she came healing the sick, giving hope to the poor and hungry, and raising the dead? It would make you think, wouldn't it? So often our expectations get in the way of seeing God's purpose and the way God is working in our world around us. It keeps us from recognizing God. If we don't get things the way we want them, then we don't want to play the game at all. I think this even applies to churches. Sometimes we need to let go of our expectations in order to be embraced by the grace of God, who has new and delightful things to share with us. Jesus says in this passage that even those who are very wise and intelligent don't always get his message, but infants do. What do infants know? Well, certainly in Jesus' time, nothing. They were the bottom of the totem pole, almost useless. But infants trust the one who cares for them. The other night I watched a movie called Doctor Strange. Maybe some of you have seen it. It wasn't the kind of movie I usually watch. I like dramas, and this was more adventure, superhero, fantasy stuff. I will say the special effects were really good, though. Doctor Strange is a very arrogant and extremely intellectual man. He's a neurosurgeon. And he gets into a car accident, and he loses the use of his hands. Well, that's probably the worst thing that could ever happen to a surgeon. It's quite a burden for him. And so he goes to great extremes to find healing for his hands. But what he finds on this journey is that he must give up his own pride and let the journey lead him. He must forget everything that he thought he knew and be open to some new ways of thinking. He must become like an infant and trust the way. And that is the only way that his hands finally are healed and his ego along with them. In our reading, Jesus himself turns to the one on whom he depends. He turns to the Father and shares an intimate conversation with him. And in so doing, Jesus begins to recognize God's work and God's way of doing things. I think he may even change his expectations, and he praises God for what he is doing. The Pharisees and the scribes may not be able to see who Jesus is, but the Father reveals Jesus to those who are like infants, open to trust and to learn. Remarkably, Jesus invites us into that intimate relationship with his Father, his Abba, or we would say, Daddy. By participating in this relationship of love, he offers to help lift and carry our burdens in the gentlest of ways. Through his death and resurrection, he reaches out to lift up that strap of our burdens and to help make them light. So I thought it would be appropriate this morning to spend a couple of minutes here today taking whatever it is that is burdening you to Jesus, to enter into this deep relationship of prayer. We all certainly have things that weigh us down. We worry about our children, whether they are 6 or 60. Perhaps we are hurting from the criticism from others. Perhaps we have a big decision before us. Maybe it's the prejudice of others or our own prejudice that troubles us. Or maybe it's just something that's under our skin. No burden is too small to take to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus opens his arms to us now. And so I would like to take about 3 minutes of silence for you to have time to take your burdens to Jesus. It may seem like a long time to some, to others maybe it'll pass quickly, but let's just have a short time of silence and prayer. If you could come back to the gathering again, the assembly. When we were at confirmation camp last week we tried this being in silence with middle school kids. We had had the story of Elijah and how Elijah ran away from God and wanted to die. And then there was an earthquake, and there was a storm, there was fire, there was wind, but God was not in any of those. God was in the sound of crushed silence. And so I was amazed, really, at how these middle school kids were able to just keep silent for a few minutes like that and to pray. And some of them even said they longed for silence. We live in a very noisy world. Take time to rest in silence. That's God's invitation to you today. As St. Augustine wrote, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we rest in you." Gathered around water and word and holy meal, we find rest for our souls. Amen.